The translation of this shloka, it's by the way a very important verse in the Bhagavatam, as we will see a little later. So please listen very attentively. Alas, O Vaya, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful, and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. This refers, of course, to the Putana, which coming into Vrindavan to poison little Krishna. As we know, she smeared her breast with the most poisonous of all poisons to mercilessly kill the young baby Krishna. And Krishna, when he saw her coming, knew her intention, but still accepted her. He took her breast and sucked her breast, something which is a very, very close and intimate contact for a woman and a young baby. It's a very, it shows a relationship. Huh? So he accepted her in a very close relationship, and then he also saw that there was not only closeness, there was some evil intention, and he killed her. But he never forgot that Putana had come to offer him her breast, a motherly activity, really, and therefore liberated her and granted her the position of one of her of his vet nurses. Don't know if you know the old custom in India. Sometimes a baby would have several vet nurses. Not only the mother would breastfeed him, but there were other elderly ladies who were trusted by the family and who nourished him. Sinishingadeva ki jai. Wonderful. Have you seen Lord Nrsimhadev is so present in this temple? I mean, he says it's so clear, even without glasses, we can see him so clearly. Wonderful. So this is a merciful pastime of Lord Krishna, pastime which devotees like very, very, very much. Thank you, Vedanta. Good. And let us hear now the purport of Srila Prabhupada to this pastime. Here is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord, even to his enemy. It is said that a nobleman only looks for the bad in others. No, of course, somebody is listening. Be very attentive. I might do this a few times. It is said that a nobleman accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar even from a stock of poison. In his babyhood, Lord Krishna was administered deadly poison by Putana, a she-demon, who tried to kill the wonderful baby. And because she was a demon, it was impossible for her to know that the Supreme Lord, even though playing the part of a baby, was no one less than the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. She couldn't see it. She was a demon, a blind owl. His value as the Supreme Lord did not diminish upon his becoming a baby to please his devotee Yashoda. The Lord may assume the form of a baby or a shape other than that of a human being, but it doesn't make the slightest difference. He's always the supreme, same supreme. A living creature, however powerful he may become by dint of severe penance, can never become equal to the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. It's the standard of his character. What means standard? Standard means that is by which he goes, by which he makes his decisions. It's his standard. It's his basis, his character foundation. Let me repeat, what is it? The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity, Krishna, and awards him the highest reward. There is hope, Prabhus and Matajis, there's hope. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Niveshesha Kunyavadi Askatane Sakaine Sri Nasinga Jai Nasinga Jai Jai Nasinghadev Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When the devotees in this material world try to remember Krishna, they always need something in Krishna's personality which is so outstanding that they just go in their mind to this quality. For instance, if I would remember any personality, I would have to go to one of the qualities of that personality. And of course, I would first try to remember his face or how he looks. But invariably, after having remembered his form, I would, if I want to think of him, remember his qualities. We can see this, for instance, at memorial festivals, where we remember Srila Prabhupada. There are in our movements these wonderful evenings, Srila Prabhupada's evenings. And often slides are shown or movies shown of Prabhupada so that we can see his form. And then some talks are given, and Prabhupada is described in these talks by his pastimes and how he acted towards others. I do remember once Kadamba Kanana Maharaj on Vyasa Puja gave a lecture about Srila Prabhupada's compassion to his disciples. He said that there was one devotee who previously, before taking sacred vows, had been addicted to drugs, and then unfortunately, due to some spiritual weakness, again took to his old ways and smoked marijuana. And this went on for a considerable amount of time, and Prabhupada was informed. And Prabhupada gave a very strong answer, critique of this devotee. He said something to the effect that I reject him. Is it correct? I reject him. I reject him. And this was heard by another devotee. And this devotee then went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, will you honestly reject him? Prabhupada said, of course not. So we heard about this quality of Prabhupada, of compassion. And when we heard this, I remember this lecture, I thought, wow, I have hope. I was very much, and I still remember, although I have a bad memory, unfortunately, I still remember this always, that Prabhupada accepts without any consideration of qualification. And I had hope at that time. I remember, because I'm not a good disciple, and I'm sometimes feeling a little distressed because of the Prabhupada. Does Prabhupada have place for such a person like me? This is a natural question which will come when you are confronted with your weaknesses and mistakes. And yes. So in the same way, as we remember Srila Prabhupada by his form and qualities, we remember Krishna by his form and by his qualities. And here, this verse is very dear to the devotees in this world, because it shows just how absolutely compassionate the Lord is. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes this, that Putana just disguised herself as a devotee. She actually in her heart was sinful, but outwardly she imitated a devotee. And therefore, all of her family attained Krishna. You know, she was actually an innocent she was a heavy, blood-sucking, envious demon who took pleasure in murdering innocent babies. Just imagine this. She was worse than Jack the Ripper. Who killed mostly ladies, I heard, in London, in the foggy streets of London. I heard he went up to 43 ladies, which he killed. Putana had killed thousands upon thousands of babies. And now she came to Krishna to kill Krishna. What a pathological murder. Murderess. But she had one good quality. She imitated a devotee. She could have done many things, but no, she dressed like a devotee. She looked so devotee-like that the devotees, the Brajavasis, mistook her. They thought, well, this is the goddess of fortune. So many come to our Krishna to have her darshan. That's her. And when they saw that she bared her breast, they said, wonderful, let her breastfeed Krishna. But in her heart, she was something entirely different than a devotee. This is the description of kutilya, crookedness. In the heart, you are one thing, but outside, you are something else. Sometimes when we start in our devotional career, we also sometimes feel we are like this. Outwardly, tilak is there. We look like a saint. We have dhoti and a chadar. And what else? The right folds in the dhoti. We have a beautiful, saintly looking zari on. No? But inside our heart, sometimes we feel it is a different story. We feel like this sometimes. But no, and we feel, we at that time feel, is there ever a hope for me? Yes, there is. Because Krishna is compassionate. He has this samilosti, or samilost, as a compassion. There are many, many examples, and I will tell you now one example. In India, once there was a group of about 3 or 4 men who came together to have a little fun. They drank alcohol, and after some time, by the effect of the alcohol, their mind were bewildered, and looking for fun, they took some rags and began making noises. Cuckoo, 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 we are cuckoos. And they began to imitate the flying of cuckoos and flew around. They were shaking these pieces of paper. Not paper, cloth. Now the Supreme Lord looked at this. They were just joking around. But it was the month of Kartik. And it is said, anyone who hoists a flag in the month of Kartik, means der eine Flagge aufzieht, will get the pleasure of the Lord. You see, when we start a festival, you might have seen, there is a Fahnenmast, I don't know how to say it in a flagpole, thank you. And then we do hoist a flag. Mostly it's a flag where Hanuman is there. Is it also our flag is there? Because we know this, when this flag waves in the wind, it pleases the Lord. Especially with Hanuman, you know. Hanuman and Garuda even. We know this gives pleasure to the Lord. So these drunken fools, they were cuckoo, cuckoo, and they're making the cloth waves. And it was the month of Kartik, a sacred month. The Lord took them, and I forgot, there was some incredible result for them. Either they went back home, back to Godhead, or attained liberation from the circle of birth and death, with a chance to develop a relationship to Krishna. I exactly forgot what it is. There are many, many, many such stories which show how the Lord is very merciful. So Sanatana Goswami meditates about this pastime, and he writes, Putana was an envious demon who took pleasure in murdering innocent babies. Disguised as a respectable lady, she entered the company of Krishna's devotees just to kill him. Yet she obtained Krishna as her son. In other words, Krishna gave himself to her. Wonderful. And Jiva Goswami looks upon this pastime and he says, by killing the Putana witch, in granting her the position of his nurse, Krishna began his merciful manifest pastimes on the earth. And he says, this pastime is attracting the devotees to the sweet attributes of Krishna, like compassion and protection of his devotees. This pastime is special because it does not account for qualification or disqualification. Krishna didn't look, is Putana qualified or not qualified? She certainly is not really qualified to be a devotee and to deserve such mercy. Krishna just looked for that little speck of good qualities. Prabhupada says that this is the characteristic of a noble person who accepts the good qualities of a person, even of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar from a stock of poison. And he says, even a nobleman does like this. A noble person is actually not a fault finder. Do you know this? Noble means like a good character person. When he looks upon you and your heart, he will not see your doubtful qualities because he is of a high level. And someone who is on a high level will see what is on his level. This is normal. This is from the philosophy of perception. You know, when... A lusty man will always, because he's so lusty, when he looks at women, the first place he looks is at places which might incite his lust further. I think our ladies know this. When they go over the street and there are these lusty men, they scan you from top to bottom. Is this a good person for me to associate with? This is how lusty men will look. No? He is on the level of lust and he looks on that level and finds on this level some qualities. You know, there are lusty people who are so lusty they find even in animals some qualities which feel for them. Oh, this is a good person to have good animal to have sense gratification with, because they are on this level. Or let us say, people who like music, they always find music. They look at music videos. They buy a acoustic guitar and they make the music everywhere because that's their level of interest. So a saintly person who is good, he will see the good qualities in others. What does this say about us when we are in our normal fault-finding mood? It means we are not yet on the level where we could be. We are on a little lower level than is a noble level. We are on the level where we may be even associating so much with our own faults. And therefore we see the faults of others. Once Prabhupada criticized some, that's not a nice story, but I want to tell it. Prabhupada was sometimes criticized by his god brothers. He writes about it. For having accepted Westerners and giving them Brahman initiation and introducing all these things to Westerners. And Prabhupada was, of course, not happy about this criticism by his brothers. He would often suffer when he heard that this Maharaj said this. He was not... one time the criticism became just so unjust, and so they were never in the West, so they could not understand what Prabhupada was doing and how he was helping us. They just flew out of their mouth some criticism, and Prabhupada heard it. And then he reacted to it, and he wrote it in a purport. These are not high-class devotees who just criticize. Because a devotee will not criticize like this. He will not see the faults. He will see the good. That here, the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even in all villages, the chanting of the holy name will be heard. It is happening. Why criticize? Why not see this wonderful thing? Because they were always in this dark, and I mean, this is now my disciple perspective. Sometimes we in our ashram life, you know, living together, are not thinking of very high class things. We are thinking of low things. Oh, he hurt me, and how can I get along with this and that? And we feel sad, also in our movement, because we are many individuals with many world views. We sometimes feel disturbed. Why was this decision made? Why was, you know, all this negative things, no? But you should not think so much about it. It's not good. It doesn't make you strong, it makes you sick. So a high-class person will always accept the good qualities of a person, even of doubtful character. And in Lord Krishna, this characteristic of a noble person finds its fullest, and we should say, almost from our perspective, an extreme manifestation, in that the Lord really accepts the good qualities. See, today is my last lecture in Germany, and when a person goes for a longer time away, he wants to do what a real devotee, what a devotee wants to do. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when devotees come together, they want to encourage each other in their spiritual path. And this is my mission today. I want to encourage you in your own spiritual path, and encourage you to really think about the compassion of Krishna. And as you think about the compassion of Krishna, you will feel much more inclined to be merciful and kind to the other devotees. You will feel that, oh no, I want to extend this compassion of Krishna. I want to be an instrument in the compassion of the Lord. You may not be able to follow the same standard of compassion, I mean, but you can see, if Krishna is so merciful to everyone, why should I be so unmerciful? Some of you look tired, so we will have to open the window to help you and serve you a little bit in this class. I would say we open in the service of the Vaishnavas the windows fully for some time. with the idea to serve the Vaishnavas. We can even open the door for some time. Let us show them compassion. They have danced and they have eaten rich prasadam like they never eat in usual days. Now there is a lot of ghee and sugar in their blood and makes them tired. So we have to help them. Yes. It's called analysis in the service of the devotees. So yes. This quality of compassion taken to a sublime position in Krishna's character has played historically a great role in the manifestation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. See, Srila Vyasadeva had one son, but this son stayed for a long time in the womb of his mother. I remember 9 years. Is that correct?
Some say 12, some say 16.
Some say 12, 16 years. This mother, or wife of Vyasadeva, was the daughter of Jabali, a great saint. And you know, when a child stays maybe 5 days longer in the womb than the actual date, you start to, you think, all right, when is it coming? When is it coming? 1 week, a little bit more. When is it coming? When is it coming? 2 weeks. When is it coming? Must come soon. But imagine 12 or 16 years. Has it died? Or you poke the belly. Is everything all right? Hello? Don't you want to come out? The little boy in the womb of Jabali's daughter did not want to come out. Vyasadeva was desperate. My son and my wife. And went to Dwaraka and asked Lord Krishna, what is the reason? I mean, this is 16, it's 12 or 16 years, but this is abnormal. Krishna said, he is a great saint. He just doesn't want to come into this world. He thinks it's Maya, the world, and he will become overwhelmed by all this Maya around himself. I will come, I will preach to him. And Krishna went from Dwaraka to the ashram of Vyasadeva, which was in the Himalayan mountains, and he preached, don't worry, you will be protected. And after, I give my word. Here's Krishna. Then Shukadeva was coming out. He was, actually from the Bhagavatam we hear 16 years. Now I remember. He was 16 years old by that time. He was fully grown. Und es war keine Zangengeburt. Krishna. I don't want to that this appears on the tape, so I said it in German. He came out, and his disposition was no Maya. Family life is Maya. I'm an eternal soul. I'm not produced by these parents. Therefore, no family life for me. And he immediately left after his birth. I don't know if he took a bath. He didn't put on clothes, that's known, and he just disappeared in the forest. Vyasadeva tried to keep him, it was not possible, and he disappeared in the forest. Now Vyasadeva, before that, I just learned this from unveiling his lotus feet, had already produced a mini version of the Bhagavatam. not the big one that came later. And he sent messengers into the forest to try to somehow bring his son back home. You know, father wants to see his son. And he had thought the best way to bring him home is if I just somehow attract him to my ashram. And I have to do this by telling him that there's nectar in this ashram to be gotten. He's such a saint. So the messengers went in the forest and recited the nectar of the Bhagavatam. And the two verses which they recited over and over again, according to the Devi Purana, is this one. Aho bakiyam stanakalakut. Please chant with me. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigam sayapayayat apyasadvi leve gadim dad yuchitam tatonyam kang vadayalum sharanam vadimam. Alas! How shall I take shelter of one more compassionate than Krishna, who granted the position of a mother to a she-demon Putana? Although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast, how do I find anyone who gives more compassion and protection? So I have to take shelter in him. So this was the first nectarian verse. Would you like to hear the second verse?
Yes.
They just went around like this. Aho bakiyam, the messages of Vyasadeva.
Vaha pidam natavara vapu kanayoka nikaram vibradvasha kanaka kapisham vaichajantim chamalam randram veno adala sudaya purayan gopa brinde brindaranyam sva padaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti.
This verse is the meditation of the gopis, the supreme devotees of Lord Krishna, when they remember the activities of Krishna. And when they are disturbed by the love in their heart, this is the verse, a meditation. Prabhupada says the gopis meditate like this when Krishna disappears in the forest in the morning when he herds the cows, wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head. Blue kanikara flowers on his ears. A yellow garment as brilliant as gold. And the Vaijajanti garland. It's a long garland. Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers. Now they describe how he dances into the forest. As he entered the forest of Vrindavan, he beautifies it with the marks of his footprint. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. And the cowherd boys sang his glories. Wonderful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur shows from the Sanskrit that when Lord Krishna dances, he just goes like skip, chuk, 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 chuk. Like this he goes into the forest. And the meditation. So, finally, the messengers who quoted or sang these two verses came to the spot where Shukadev was sitting in the forest. They didn't see him. And they chanted this first verse about the compassion of Lord Krishna. And then they chanted the verse of his pastimes. How he dances into the forest and plays his flute, and how he looks with his flower decoration of a blue flower over his ear. Just very playful, you know, how he has the peacock feather and all of this. And when they came to the second verse, they saw from behind a bush, the face of Sukadev Goswami appearing like the moon rising over the Udagiri mountains. Imagine Sukadev Goswami's face. He was in deep meditation, the trance of meditation on the Brahman. He must have looked incredibly beautiful from this meditation. So effulgent and so, but at the same time so peaceful and composed. And the messengers went like, Shukadev spoke. His voice was very calm. Are there more such verses? The messages. Srila Vyasadeva, the literary incarnation of God, who happens to be your father. But he's God. Has this nectar in his ashram, and he's ready to teach you these many of such verses. Let us go immediately. And they went to Vyasadeva, and there Srila Sukadev heard the verses. And the attraction, and I really want to make this point, is what brought him out of his meditative trance, and what made him change his whole course of life. Remember, he had left the ashram and he wanted to just meditate. That's all. And he could do it. He was not just a modern meditator who becomes nervous after 5 minutes. He was, you know, fixed like a mountain in his meditation. But what made him change his course of life, what just brought him and made him a devotee, this compassion of Lord Krishna, and then his wonderful pastimes. He went to Srila Vyasadeva, and of course Vyasadeva must have been overjoyed to see his saintly son, and he taught him the Bhagavatam and many such verses. Yes, I have many more points, but I want to go now to the end. Yes, one point remains. And then we will have some questions and answers. So, of course, as we hear about this compassionate nature of Krishna, we also have our questions. Some of us are practicing Krishna consciousness for 5 years. 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, but we don't feel always the compassion. We feel sometimes troubled. Huh? We are trying to keep the project Singhachalam, and sometimes we have headaches. How will it be possible? We are practicing, and these headaches make us feel very, very, very bad in our heart. Or we have so much suffering and misery, and there's also there, and we feel we have our karma and all of this. The compassion of Krishna cannot be measured in a very, very linear way, and a very like you measure the compassion of a person who distributes bonbons or sweets. Sometimes the merciful father knows that he has to treat his child with giving him a slap for what he does wrong. So Krishna also sees our natures, which are sometimes less than saintly, and gives us a little slap with the ultimate orientation to bring us to sense. I remember in my education, I was so wild, you can't believe it. I would do everything else. When I would, for instance, go naked as a child in the neighborhood, because I just wanted to shock the neighbors, you know, and it's a grown-up child. I would do things which I don't even want to repeat. I was just so nasty. I must have been a real... And my poor father, who after the Second World War had made a vow to become non-violent, you know, he often gave me a beating. Even when I was quite, when I was 14 years old and I came home late in at 2 o'clock in the night, he said, "Open your mouth." Why? Open your mouth and breathe into my face. I knew who was the stronger here. He was older than me. Of course, in the breath was not only the fresh breath of a young boy. There were substances which were not allowed in a German family for a young boy. Also, then again, there was a beating. I grew up in this school. And one time, I still remember this. He had given me a beating on the behind. I must have been 10 years and I did something so impossible. I will not tell you. It's too... Then he just had tears in his eyes and he said, "I don't... It pains me much more than you to do this, but I know for a person like you, if you are not shown where your limits are, you will always go over the limits in your life and you will suffer like hell. You will suffer like anything. I'm doing this for your good. You are a strong person. You will not be damaged by this treatment. I wouldn't do it for your younger brother. I only do it for you." And now, when I'm older, I must say it was a good treatment. I feel, yes, I would have done many more mistakes than I have already done without this. It's in my consciousness. If you suffer when you do things which are very, very wrong, that's there. Of course, I don't know if now, I'm not saying that this should be, I don't know about pedagogic nowadays and how the, but for me it worked, this I can say. So Lord, this example is given. Lord Krishna is compassionate like this. He treats us because we are very, very wrong from our previous lives. We have done quite wrong things. We are not so good as we would like to see ourselves. But he does this with compassion to correct us ultimately. Lord Krishna in his most compassionate form, however, is a little different than that. And I urge you to now listen to the most compassionate form of Lord Krishna, who is not so heavy with you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a wonderful song. It goes, Ohe premera Thakura Gaura Pranera Yatana Kiva. O Shri Gaura Sunda, worshipable Lord of Prema, O my Master, let me tell you of my sorrows and my suffering. What is his misery? Listen very carefully. I have forgotten my original identity. O my Lord, what more can I say? I have endured many wounds inflicted from my difficulties. Then now, many days later, I remember the reason for which you gave me birth in this world. My dear devotees, there is a reason why you have taken birth. And he continues, O Lord, I am so unfortunate that I had no attachment for worshipping you, but was always evil-minded and mad for material enjoyment. I was living with sense enjoyers, and I became like them. I forgot totally why I'm here. Who am I? Why am I in this world? These questions never came to my mind. I was sometimes enjoying, sometimes renouncing, and my mind was dancing between this renunciation and enjoying. I was cheating. I never considered what would be my outcome. I never ever associated with Krishna's devotees, and I exhibited all bad signs of being against Krishna. Now, by Sri Guru's grace, my eyes have been opened and my dream has been broken. I now understand that I have only you, O Gaura Sunda, and that your beloved devotees are my greatest friends in the prison house of this material world. Now I worship your devotees exclusively. I will serve no one else. O Nata, now I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, which are like red lotuses. Pull me by the hair. Please deliver me from Maya's net. Do you not bestow your mercy on the sinners? Huh? Were not Jagai and Madai also fallen? Yet you gave them your mercy. From this I can understand that you are the Lord of Prema and the deliverer of the fallen. O Prabhu, Gaura Sunda, I am devoid of bhakti. Wretched and destitute. But your feet that grant fearlessness on the head of this offender. No, sorry. Put your feet that grant fearlessness on the head of this offender. I take shelter of your divine feet. Shishi Gouni Daiki. Hare Krishna, so good. So good. This Lord is a Lord of compassion, Lord of mercy. Krishna is a little soma condition when he sees, I need to punish this person. He has his way of slapping us, you know. He says, surrender unto me first, then you get my mercy. Gaura Sunda, Lord Gaura, is Krishna in the reconsidering mood. Like when Prabhupada was asked, do you really want to reject him? Prabhupada reconsidered his earlier statement and said, of course not. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in this reconsideration mood. He thought the wrong age. Krishna is the age of Kali. And of people are more fallen. So let us save them. Let us come again in the most merciful form. Please make yourself familiar with this most merciful incarnation. Read in the appropriate literature. Build a connection to Lord Gaura. That's our hope, really, in this age. It's Krishna, fully Krishna, not less than Krishna, who's come in this mood of showing the special compassionate thing and mood. We have many Sankirtan devotees. Not many. We have some Sankirtan devotees here. When you do your Sankirtan practice, think of Lord Gaura Sunda's mission to spread the holy name in each village. That's what you do when you bring these educational books, Bhagavatam or Prabhupada's literature to the people. You are actually an instrument in Lord Chaitanya's glorious mission to spread the holy name. Yes, and Ravindra Swaruprabhu and myself had a discussion, and he said to me, you know, Maharaj, I want to join the Hare Krishna movement. How do you mean this? I said, I understand that chanting under the guidance of Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam, 8 verses of Shiksha, Shiksha means instruction, are just, that's the road to perfection. That's how you get the Krishna consciousness. And I want to join this movement. I will just chant according to the instructions of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That's all. That's my hope. Hare Krishna. Thought it was very wise. Good. I want to end here. Thank you very, very much. We will now have some questions. Please think about good questions. Here is Madhavananda, who has a question. First our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, and then our, please help me again, Sukayanti, the Mataji Sankirtan leader of Heidelberg, yeah, isn't it? Oh, my Krishna's mercy. Yes. So Maharaj, you please say.
We look at the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the most merciful incarnation, and it's very great, wonderful, even more merciful than Krishna. You described Putana's situation, how merciful Krishna is. But yet that mercy is not unconditional. There are many conditions. There were those who were excluded. The offender of Srivas was told never. Right? I will never give you the mercy. He was excluded from the mercy. There are so many things to be done, even the Sikshastika gives us. On the one hand, says there are no hard and fast rules, and then
Tenarapi Sunichina, yes.
it's impossible goals to be attained. So that's the discouraging element. Your class was about hope, but questions are discouraging. So how do we deal with that? They seem to be real.
This is a very, very important question of Maharaj, and I would like to repeat it. We have heard that Mahaprabhu is even more compassionate than Krishna. It is inconceivable if we think that Krishna gave mercy to Bhutana. Now, what will be Gauranga's mercy? But it seems that this mercy is also conditioned. Now, there are examples of people who did not obtain the mercy of Gauranga. And when we hear how to obtain the mercy of Gauranga, like following his instructions in the Shiksha Shastakam, then we feel, these are impossible conditions. So how is this mercy unconditional? It's a very, very, very important question and very deep question, and I can only try to answer this from my perspective. I will now give an answer because Gadambakanana Maharaj and myself, we in our discussions have found out that we often think about similar subjects. So I will now go into, I will give a personal answer, a personal reflection on this. Somehow, obtaining mercy has to do with receiving mercy. Of course, it's the same word, obtaining and receiving, but you have to be, if you want to receive mercy, you have to be receptive for mercy. Receptive means empfänglich in German. It's like in biology. Only a receptive woman who has the biological preconditions can receive the seed of a man and give birth to a child. The seed may come, but if the woman's ovum is not, has some biological dysfunction, then the ovary, it's called, and the egg will not come, and the seed will look, where do I go, where do I, and will not, no child will come. So, to become receptive, how do we become receptive for Lord Chaitanya's mercy? I feel that there are two things to be receptive. The right place in your life, outer place and inner place. During Lord Chaitanya's manifest pastimes, most people were at the, who met him got the full mercy of Lord Chaitanya. They were externally at the right place. They were overwhelmed. There is this one offender against Srivast Thakur who Lord Chaitanya rejected. But as he is the Lord in the reconsiderate mood, there was a second meeting where this offender who lived now as a leper outside of Navadvip again asked the Lord, what should I do? Is there anything? And then Lord Chaitanya gave him a hard word, but gave him a clue. Go for and look shelter at Shiva's Thakur's lotus feet. You have offended him. I cannot forgive you, but he can forgive you. So this offender then wanted to take discipleship of Shiva's Thakur, but Shiva's Thakur thought he sent him to another devotee, and later this devotee accepted him, trained him, and this offender became Devakinandan, who wrote this wonderful song about taking shelter at the lotus feet of Lord of the Vaishnavas, a song which one can sing to become free from the offensive mentality to judge Vaishnavas, a mentality which he had in before he took initiation and became a devotee. So this person was physically, this is my point, at the right spot. He was there in Lord Chaitanya's manifest pastimes, and the mercy came a little delayed, but it somehow came. And most them, but you seem to remember people who just didn't get the mercy. And there must be. I mean, if you say I have not, you are more expert in Mahaprabhu's Leela than me. So there must be these people, but most of the people, the vast majority, who were not absolute abnormalities in the dispensation of mercy, freak cases, and there must be always some freak cases in nature, they did get the mercy because they were at the time of Mahaprabhu and had contact with the waves of the overflooding waves of prema bhakti which emanated from Mahaprabhu, and which made people lose consciousness. It was so strong when he was there. Now, those who are not physically there in Mahaprabhu's, let us call it the manifest pastime, like us, have to be also receivers. When you were receivers to Mahaprabhu in his manifest pastime, you just needed to be close by. You got it. You received it. It was overwhelming. But there must be exceptions also. But now we have to bring ourselves into a receptive heart to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. The way I understand it, we have to, a receptive heart means we have to have some feeling of appreciation for the Lord. Not a feeling of rejection of the Lord to be receptive. And this feeling of appreciation, Lord Nityananda expresses this. He says, if someone chants the name of Gauranga and there is a tear in his eye, that means he chants and he feels Gauranga is wonderful. Or he is moved, he has some feeling. Gauranga. Then I give him my mercy. So this, I would say, since we are not in the manifest pastime and therefore, being receptive was very easy. We have to be receptive in another way, that is in an internally receptive mood of Gauranga's mercy. Receptive means we have to appreciate him. We have to love him. We have to or like him or you know, serve him, or something which comes from inside. And that moment the mercy is there. I feel as devotees we have heard so much philosophy, like all of you. You are the wonderful devotees, but I try to give a sense seminar that other day, I knew you were full up till here from the festival and you were tired. And I just couldn't say what I wanted, therefore I made a death meditation, something shocking to it, so that you think, oh, something new, let me listen. We have heard so much, we are sometimes full, but where is our heart? We Hare Krishnas are too much in our heads. People who observe our movement have seen. You have to do something for the heart. Now, I have not become a New Age man. Don't worry. What do I mean when I say go into the heart? I mean, think of how can I realize this? How can I make this work for me? This is what the action of the heart is. In the head, you know the philosophy, but you can be arrogant. It's strange. You can be proud of being humble in the head. You are thinking, now how does this look like? How do I realize it? How do I make it work for me? Maybe I should read some songs and, you know, and see how the great devotees express their feeling. Maybe then I get some feeling in my stone-like heart. This is expressed by Prabodhananda Saraswati. He said, I've done millions of sadhanas, but nothing has taken root in my heart, in my desert-like heart. Now my only chance is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And you can understand, he will not go about this with the head. Let me understand. When you read Chaitanya Chandramrita, a book, now kommt eine Schleichwerbung, a book, we are at the moment, both of us, Kadamakanana Maharaj, in his glorious way, and I am, which is just the little way, we are working on something about Mahaprabhu. Look at the book market, there will be books coming out on the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Prabodhananda Saraswati, how he speaks after saying, after millions of sadhanas, nothing has happened in the desert of my heart. He now starts to glorify Mahaprabhu, but it's really intense, you know, it's a feeling. He says things like, oh, Hare Krishna, if the curtain closes, I will say it, and now I can't close it, say it. It's intense! It's intense! He glorifies him with his heart. So you have to become receptive in your heart for Mahaprabhu, and then you have the standard chance. And the heart means something has to do with realization, with the question, how will it work for me? With some deep interest, the English word is eagerness. You have the willingness. Then only you're receptive. Look at our old example. A woman who is not receptive to a man cannot receive. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work psychologically, even if she is something is... I mean, of course, I don't want to go into... yes, now I remember there are... But, you know, you have to be open to receive. You have to be open to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That openness is an internal thing, an inner thing. This is my conviction, Kanamakanana Maharaj. It's also my hope. I hope it's a realistic hope. It's my only hope. I will defend this view, in other words, like a person who will not allow any intellectual argument that this hope is taken away from him. It's my only hope. This is how I also can explain the amazing deaths of devotees who at the moment of death have just become open. In the hospital, it happened to me. I'm not a good person. When I had no other chance, I just was surrendering and something wonderful happened. I had a wonderful experience of Krishna's mercy, even me. I didn't know how I will spend the next 10 minutes. It was just so... I think it was not so serious, but because my nerves were so... Man sagt in Deutsch blank, in English weak, but it doesn't explain blank enough, you know. When you have weak nerves, even small things just are perceived by you subjectively as a life threatening. So I was in such a condition. I don't think my life was threatened objectively, but subjectively I felt, I don't know how I can get over the next 10 minutes. This was the experience, and experience is a subjective thing. And then I just tried to pray to Krishna, but it didn't work. I mean, I couldn't make contact because I was so much in anxiety and disturbed at all, pain. And then I finally was where I should be, fully receptive. I said, okay, if you don't wish to show your mercy, that is your, up to you. I know you are my Lord. And I was really in a very unconditional mood. I was really open. I didn't place demands on Krishna, not even to help me overcome this. And I was, in Deutsch sagt man, weich gekocht. I had become soft, weich gekocht is the goodest word. Boiled soft, The Lord knew he needed to do this with such a stone-hearted man like me. And then, it was so wonderful, Babus. I felt like being in a tunnel, dark tunnel, hopeless tunnel. Then there was all of a sudden some light, meaning some escape route. And somehow I just, in my consciousness, went there. And then I came out of the tunnel of misery, the threatening thing. And I was in this wonderful atmosphere of unconditioned love, which I have never felt before in my life. Something you can't really describe. You just, but so carried by love and carried by and I knew the Lord loved me. I knew that at that moment. I felt it. I was very much overwhelmed by this. And then I think we have to be receptive. That's what I want to say. We have what, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he says about this. When he said that he forgot the reason why he came to this world, he said, I'm so unfortunate that I had no attachment for worshipping you. I was evil-minded and mad for material enjoyment. I was living with sense and joys and became like them. And I exhibited all bad signs of being opposed to Bhagavan. So, and because Maharaj, your question is really my question also. I want to tell you another thing which I found. Jiva Goswami talks about this. He says, he talks about unconditional love he talks about conditional love and when this unconditional love comes. You explained these two types of love very, very nice. And I will never forget your two fingers, which said, not one way, two ways of mercy. This was our Maharaj showed us, almost like a newly appeared Madhvacharya. He showed it to the questioner who just was so much in his own head that he couldn't hear the answer. So he had to show him the answer. Jiva Goswami talks about this also. He talks about a devotee who has full faith, and out of his full faith, the Lord manifests himself. Shraddha becomes eventually Nishta, and from Nishta, this mood of unconditioned faith, this thing develops into attachment and finally Bhava. It's a journey of faith, our Krishna consciousness, really. And faith transmutes into love at one stage. Transmutes means transformed, verändert sich. He said, those who don't have this, they still can attract Krishna. Who don't have this, who are aruchi, who don't have this taste, which comes if the journey of faith is successful, they can still attract Krishna to them if they are humble and not pretend that they are more than they are. So I feel when a devotee is not successful in his life, if he doesn't pretend, you know, if he's not overcome with faith, but he's genuinely humble about it, he still attracts Krishna. You can be a very fallen person who does millions of mistakes. As long as you don't do what our psychological urge always urges us to make us seem better than we really are, to make us into showmen and showwomen on the stage of life, you know, with our own little mask and our private God project. You know, if we really can understand, okay, I'm not so great, and we are honest about it, and we are there, then the mercy comes, the full mercy comes. I see this in my life. I'm always traveling. I have assistants who travel with me because I feel we are a preaching team and we need to work together, and you can only work together with someone whom you really know and who knows you after 3 years. So I like to have assistance for as long as possible and so on. And therefore I always stay with young devotees in the beginning. These are usually, I'm such an old guy, by years, I'm not old by realization, by years. But I can see how a young devotee usually makes a show about his life. That I can see. Because I went through that myself. And I'm still doing a show about my life. But I can see more after so many years. And therefore my eyes are, sometimes my assistants are afraid of me because they say, you have these laser eyes. I mean, it's fearful to be with you. Fright. So I always try to train young devotees in this. Don't make yourself seen like someone you are not. Just, even if you're fallen, and bhakti doesn't matter, just try your best where you are. This kutilya, this pretense, is very, very unnecessary and not at all bringing you to Krishna bhakti. My present assistant doesn't have this problem, but the assistants before him, because he practices since 9 years already, but the assistants before him were just young devotees who didn't practice so long, and therefore we always had this situation. I do remember. That's my second thing. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. I've given a... So the other questions, I felt this question was very important to give some time. So I will now have the remaining two questions, but it will be very brief, my answer. I can't go into detail.
How you develop the quality of a noble person by finding out faults on others when others find you a fault in you constantly?
How can you develop the qualities of a noble person, that is, seeing the good in others, when others constantly see faults in you? Hare Krishna. Listen to this answer. It's an answer which you will think for many years about. Why do others constantly find faults in you? Could it be that you have faults which you don't see? The emphasis lies in the which you don't see. Obviously, we all have faults and we are aware of some of the faults. But could it be that there are faults which we are not aware? In psychology, blind spots. Ravindraswarup Prabhu made this very interesting point. He said, our ego is such that we can't see it, but others can constantly see it. This is how the ego works. I have done one meditation in my life. When I get into the same situation over and over and over and over again, I'm asking now the question not what do the people do wrong? And people do mistakes, Madhavananda. I'm not saying that those who find all these faults in us are free from faults. They have their own stories and their own faults. That's true. They may be having a controlling mentality. They may find faults because of they don't like our frisura. You know, or if we have a beard, they criticize that we have a beard, you know. That may be their own stories they may have to look a little bit about. Why are they so intolerant, you know. That is their story. But we are now talking about you, not them. You have asked a question, the answer is for you, not them. I am by now convinced we always come in the same situation again and again and again. It's because we have to learn something. Let me give you a physical example which everyone can understand. The subtle things are more difficult to understand. If you become constantly exhausted like me, maybe you have to, and you become sick, and you develop this life-threatening disease, maybe you should take care a little of your health, Sachidananda Swami. I have started to think about this. Why does it always happen to me? Should I maybe live a more balanced life? Will that maybe also be a good example for others? So when you run again and again in the same situation, you shouldn't ask what others have to learn. Ask what you have to learn. They either learn or not learn. That's their story. That's their life. That's for them. When you get constantly critique, biting critique, which maybe becomes heavier and heavier as you become older, I'm sure it's a sign that you have a blind spot which you don't see. You want maybe to see that, but you don't see. And they can tell, and this is what comes. When you don't see your blind spot, what do? You go to someone whom you trust, whom you love dearly, and you ask, am I always getting in this situation? Is there maybe something I'm doing wrong, which I don't see? Please, you are a loved and trusted friend. Tell me, don't be afraid of my false ego. I have locked it for 10 minutes in a room, you know. I will not protest. I will just hear what you have to say to me, and I will end our conversation by saying, thank you for caring enough about me that you told me what you see. No other comment I will give. And maybe they can show you a blind spot which you can work about. This is something you have to think about. It will take 5 years minimum to resolve it. No, don't laugh. I'm very serious. These are intense things. These require either a lot of purity to confront our faults, or it requires some more experiences which we need to do. These are the real things of the transformational work which we all have to do. Blind spots, they are not so easy. Blind spots come from previous lives very often. blind spots are heavy, heavy, heavy conditionings. They're not just some impoliteness, or this is the intense work. Good that it comes out. This is Krishna consciousness, real spirituality. Thank you. Now our last question is by Sukayanti. I'm sorry. Sukayanti, ask your question. You may understand as Sukakanya. No, please. Sukayanti. I have to learn. This is a bona fide Vaishnava name. It's important to know. Sukayanti. You may understand that the slap of Krishna is given by Krishna, but you may not realize it. How to realize this. There is a very, very interesting passage in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, which I think offers the clue in answering your question. It says, Prabhupada says, at least theoretically one should accept that Krishna is God. Then one can read the Bhagavad Gita and get something out of the reading. So, you have to accept at least theoretically that this is for your good. You may not, it may be theory. Now, how can you accept something theoretically or understand something theoretically? By knowledge, information which you get. I feel you need to read more about Krishna, read more about the philosophy. Prabhupada used to say to his new devotees, and we were all new devotees, Prabhupada left us. A new devotee in the old time meant 3 years, you know. Like you, most. No, an old devotee. Old devotee meant in the old times 3 years. Like you are most probably more than 3 years in Krishna consciousness. But you were an older devotee. You were sent out to open a temple in Prabhupada's time, to decide about the life of 50 to 100 enthusiastic practitioners of Bhakti Yoga, to know every answer to all their questions. Hare Krishna. These were the times. There also sometimes accidents happened. So he said, Prabhupada said to us, knowing the fragile situation, my only criticism of you, my disciples, is you don't read enough. If you don't read enough, soon there will not be this Haribol any longer. It meant the devotees would not be able to practice Krishna consciousness any longer. So to come to a realization about Krishna's workings and that they are all good. This means you can start to approach this if you know more about Krishna and how he is so different from anything you ever have experienced. You know, there are many, many things when you study Krishna, how he's totally different than a normal person. And things also totally different. Much more wise, much more deep. And you need to know this so that you understand, aha, this is what Krishna is doing. Just like when, now I know, aha, my father loved me when he was giving me a slap. It took some information. I needed to know about his character. I remember the first time when he cried after he had given me a beating. I thought, well, he seems to suffer. It's not that only I suffer. But then I forgot it because I hated to be beaten and I was thinking of the next bad thing I would do, you know. But now I know I'm not angry at my father at all, although we spent a heavy time together. He being coming from an education which was so different in all in what I believed, you know, anti-authoritarian, that was my belief system, and he authoritarian, you know, and we had a clash, you can't imagine. But I, no, he loved me, and I'm, yes, that was, I know that, I begin to even appreciate that. It took knowledge. So knowledge is always theoretically first. We are now very late. I'm very, very sorry. You will not have to suffer for 9 more months like this. Long classes, overlong classes. Please give your best wishes. I'm going now. I want to recuperate my health so that I can do my service to the mission of Krishna consciousness, to Prabhupada, to all of you, in a very effective way. I'm thinking of very new preaching ideas which will make us very relevant in the eyes of the people who are not yet in Krishna consciousness. And please think with affection. That will help very much. And I will also think of the mission here in Germany and other places, that it may spread and that devotees may be happy. I pray for the devotees. All the best for you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gaura Nitai ki. Sri Prahlad Nrisimhadeva ki. Sisi Radha Madan Mohan ki. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna.